The Sexual and Interpersonal Violence Prevention Education Capacity Building and Training and Response for Underserved Sexual and Gender Minorities. That is a mouthful and a half, but it's important stuff, and we're going to talk about it this morning. It's a comprehensive research-based training that's happening next week right here in Albany, New York. It's a conference, and it provides cutting-edge prevention and response training to enhance the knowledge and skills of attendees through training to faculty, staff, medical professionals, and community and state agency providers to turn the dial on sexual and interpersonal violence against sexual and gender minorities while providing the most trauma-informed and culturally competent response and care when incidents do occur. The conference runs in Albany from June 18th through the 22nd. Sign up is by today, I believe, right. So we'll make that point. But to talk about it, we welcome Joseph Storch, is the Associate Counsel for the State University of New York, and Elizabeth Brady, their Violence Prevention Project Director. It's a great pleasure to welcome you both to the program. How are you?
And it's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for being with us. It is it's very nice to have you both. So, Joseph, let us begin with you of how this whole thing came about, how this began, because I assume it starts with a need.
Yeah, it does. We had long taken a wide approach to sexual and interpersonal violence prevention. It affects people throughout society. And actually, when Elizabeth came on, she had really changed the focus to looking at how violence affects different people in society differently. And we know that students and community members who are LGBTQI have a heightened risk of sexual and interpersonal violence. That's across all age groups, across all financial levels, in school, out of school. And we know that many WAMC listeners are committed to making cultural change, both in our classrooms and our offices and the law enforcement. But we thought about how people need the right tools to do so. So with support from our chancellor and the board and our leadership, we were able to put together this conference and bring in folks from all across the country to really start addressing that need and move us forward.
So who do you envision coming? We're obviously talking to a wide audience this morning. Who do you envision coming? Because I assume it's anyone who has contact with people, right?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So a lot of the conversations that we've had about the folks who will be in attendance, including police officers, physicians, folks from HR, office managers, Title IX coordinators on campuses, and their biggest concern is that they want to help and they want to create change with this issue. They just don't know how to. And they have recognized that this conference is what's able to really bridge that gap and help them gain the skills and, you know, build capacity so that they are able to be agents of change.
It seems to me, and obviously this is not with everyone, but it certainly seems to me that most people want to do the right thing. They just don't always know what the right thing is. Is that safe to say?
That's 100% correct. And we see that more and more is people want to be a positive ally to this community. They just don't know how.
One example of that is, you know, when you start a major or a presentation, a lot of people will say, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome." And if you're someone who's gender non-binary, you say, "Well, what about me?" So changing that language to "colleagues, please welcome so-and-so" is just a little change, but it makes some percentage of your audience feel that they belong, that they're accepted. And that's something we've looked at for a long time with our policies.
When it comes to that and that language, because I as a I'm an adjunct professor, and I think about that a lot of because you find yourself saying "ladies and gentlemen," sure, and then stopping, and then, oh, okay. Right. So I use friends, mm-hmm, folks, things like that, just because you want to be, but again, you don't want to do the wrong thing. Do you, for those of you putting on this conference, do you all have to get on the same page as to determining what the right thing is?
Yeah, I think that a lot of it starts with having really collegial conversations and recognizing that we don't know everything. So that's why we're bringing in the experts from across the country, folks from Forge, which is one of the national experts on this topic specifically. Their policy director is going to be joining us for 4 different concurrent sessions to discuss ways to better serve LGBTQI+ students and community members who experience sexual and interpersonal violence. And part of that, a huge part of that, is understanding how to use proper language and how to appropriately address folks, and starting with the basics to make sure that students and community members are having the best experience, you know, given the situation, that they're being receiving as much respect as they need.
Mm. There, just looking at the online presence as well as the pamphlet that you just handed me, there's a lot going on. I mean, you have a ton of things, different sessions. What's the best way to sort of tackle it, if you will?
Yeah, and we wanted to do it so that. One of the things that I like to do is get together a very diverse group of people who would never ordinarily meet each other. Attorneys might not go to a conference with physicians, who might not go to a conference with law enforcement, but they're all going to be at Spectrum. So during the breaks, during the lunches, they'll happen to sit down at the table with each other. They'll meet. They'll find that they have common interests. And so that's why we intentionally put in a lot. There's 36 concurrent sessions and 6 plenary sessions over 2 days. There really is something for everybody, and that was done intentionally.
So when it comes to those, as far as really planning your time of figuring out where to go and how to get the most out of the conference, right? How do you do that?
In terms of our planning?
Well, and the planning of attendees.
So we were really intentional to make it actually fairly easy for attendees to decide what they want to go to. A lot of the sessions are really clearly targeted towards specific people. So our law enforcement sessions, you know, obviously someone who's in law enforcement can go to a session that's geared towards an advocate, but they are likely going to want to go to the sessions that are taught by police officers,
right,
so they can see the way their peers are addressing this issue.
And there are so many issues. There's so many facets to this. I mean, even as you're planning this, do you think, oh, we could have done 2 more on this, right? I mean,
yes. Yeah. We could have done a 10-day conference going from midnight to midnight, but we had a great impact team made up of folks from around SUNY and around the country who've come to SUNY a number of times since last year. We've been joined by the chancellor, joined by other senior executives from SUNY to really talk about how to make the most change as quickly as possible. We will not be able to solve all of the nation's problems in 1 2-day session, but we could make a lot of progress in a lot of more narrow areas that could mean that some students who are affected by violence or harassment will come forward who would not have otherwise.
I hope you take this question in the way it's intended, which is simply, why SUNY?
Well, we have about 500,000 students. They come from everywhere in New York State. They come from all around the country, and they are different. And they are all important. They all have their own interests, their own hopes for what they'll get out of a SUNY education. And we know that this is something that affects students at colleges all across the country. But we have a very large group of students. So if SUNY can make a change by 5%, that's thousands and thousands of students. And it's something that we have great leadership from our chancellor, from our board, from my general counsel to go forward, find evidence-based and evidence-informed techniques to make a change on a large scale, and then try and give it away as much as possible to other public and private colleges around the country. And that's one of the things we're trying to do with this conference.
In your work, and I'm interested ultimately, Elizabeth, in looking at what you do as an educator and working with these issues, what are the challenges that you face in putting this information out and teaching others?
Yeah, so I would say you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Is how are we reaching folks? We've created an enormous number of resources, and I'm incredibly proud of the team that worked on this conference and the conference itself, but how are we reaching folks and getting them to sign up for it and getting them to show up, you know, June 19th to attend the conference? And that is a lot of the times our biggest issue, because experts are excited to be on board with our conferences, and people are excited to offer feedback and help us in developing resources. But it's a matter of reaching the folks who we want to ultimately educate, whether it be through social media or, you know, media appearances like this, then is sort of has been our greatest challenge.
You're setting up, you're working on this conference right now, but day to day, your job involves what?
So creating resources for all of the SUNY campuses to better serve their students in preventing sexual and interpersonal violence. One of it, and also more effectively responding to. So our SAVER resource is something that we're incredibly proud of, response.suny.edu. It's a comprehensive database of all of the response resources across New York State, both on and off campus. It's anonymous, it's instant, and folks can go on after either they or someone they know has experienced an incident of sexual and interpersonal violence and get the help that they need. So that's a big part of my day. We've got quite a few other resources that we're developing, but definitely Spectrum has been my biggest focus recently.
In the time that we have left, Joseph, let's just quickly go how people can get they need to pretty much sign up today, right?
Sure. Yeah, today, maybe very early tomorrow.
Okay.
We are still accepting registrations. We have about 575 registrants already coming from 25 states. As far as Hawaii, they're coming to Albany. They can either Google SUNY Spectrum, and it'll be the first non-advertising hit, or go to suny.edu/events/spectrum. We were able to get some grants to lower the cost for registration, including all the content, meals, etc. And I hope that folks look at that not just as a registration cost, but really as an investment both in themselves and in all the people that they interact with in their day-to-day.
Well, it's very important and very important work that you're doing, and I thank you so much for sharing it with us. Joseph Storch is the Associate Counsel for the New York for the State University of New York. Elizabeth Brady is their Violence Prevention Project Director. Spectrum is the name of the conference that takes place June 18th through the 22nd. You can find out more information by going to suny.edu/events/spectrum, or you can simply go to our website, and we have a link there, wamc.org/roundtable. Elizabeth, Joe, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.